If you ask me this question, what one thing, if God told you you could have it, what one thing would you ask of God? And I would tell you in two words, His blessing. You say, His blessing, that is so general. That is the reason that I ask it. If I ask for wisdom, it might omit God blessing me in the area of health and strength. If I ask for health and strength, it might eliminate God's blessing me when it came to spiritual wisdom. But if I ask God, I want you to bless me. And that's what Jabez said. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. That's what I would say. I would say, God, I want you to bless me. Because you do not realize it, as I have realized it, that for God to bless you, it is an all-inclusive blessing that leaves out nothing. And I will show you why. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. And listen to verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy beasts, and the increase of thy cattle, and of the young of thy flock. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy kneading trough. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Now do you understand why I would ask one thing from God? I said, God, bless me. But what did that blessing include? You say, why, everything imaginable. Why, of course. And so if I said, oh God, I'm a farmer, bless my farm, God said, you could ask for more than that. And I read you all the things that are going to be included when God blesses us. Now listen carefully to this benediction pronounced by the high priest, and I will just quote to you the first part of it. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. To bless as God would bless is to do what I've read to you, and this is just a part of the blessing, to do what God would do for us in Deuteronomy 28. Now, turn to Psalm 121, and you must understand that the identical word that I read to you in Numbers chapter 6, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, I'm reading you this word as it occurs in Psalm 121. So listen for every time you hear the word keep. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the mountains. From whence shall my help come? My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep thee from all evil. He will keep thy soul. The Lord will keep thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Now do you understand why I simply asked for that blessing of God? Aaron prays, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And I read you a few of the things that are included in that blessing. And I read to you a few of the things that are included in the keeping. And that's just the first part of that benediction that God instructed Aaron to speak over the children of Israel. This is what is so remarkable when you consider this. So often, we look at our lives and wonder if God cares anything about us, if He's concerned. In fact, we wonder at times if there is a loving God when hard things happen to us. But let me quote you two scriptures and then you will understand. Twice in Ezekiel, words to this effect are spoken. God says, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his evil ways and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? Here is what I learned, that God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The judgment of God falls on the wicked, but God says, I have no pleasure in that. But I read to you from Numbers 6:23 on that God's pleasure is to bless and to keep. That is the heart of God. What does He want for all men? He wants to bless them and He wants to keep them. Just as it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And God is revealing to us His heart that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It is like when the Lord Jesus Christ was at Jerusalem, and when He was there, it says He saw the city and He wept over it. And yet, He said, if you had only known in this thy day the things that belong unto peace, but now they are hid from thy eyes, now this is what is going to happen to you. And so the Lord Jesus Christ wept, and yet, though they were going to die because of their wicked ways, it was not the will of God. And the Son of God wept because Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. And so we've learned this, that God has no pleasure in the punishment, in the death of the wicked. But God has pleasure in blessing and keeping all His people, and especially at this time, the children of Israel, whom God chose from among the heathen. So this is the encouragement that comes to me, that God, if He would speak this for the nation of Israel, if He wants those blessings for them, then God wants similar blessings for me. And it is not as you and I, when we bless God, we pray concerning God and we bless God, but there's no power in your blessing to bring to pass the things that you ask for God to be blessed. But God says, when I say there is going to be a blessing, God says, I command the blessing. So if God makes a promise, if God intends to do good to His people, there is nobody that can thwart the purpose of God. And do you know who knows that best of all? Satan. There are two things that I must explain to you. The word bless means to impart goodness. It means to show graciousness and kindness, and the word comes from the word knee. It means that you kneel and you're imploring the blessing of God. Well, it turns this around, and God, instead of kneeling, is simply being kind to you, and He bestows His blessings upon you. I showed you from Deuteronomy 28 all the areas in which God blessed you. Now, it says this, that God also is to keep us. And the word to keep means to hedge about with thorns. And so if you are surrounded by thorns and an enemy tries to come to you, the enemy cannot get to you because you are surrounded, you are hedged in by thorns. Now, in Job chapter 1, it says that the sons of God, on a certain occasion, had to present themselves before God, and they had to give an account of what they had been doing. And when God was speaking with Satan, he said, "Have you considered my Job, my servant Job? There's no one like him in the whole earth." And Satan said, "Why, of course I've considered him. And I know why there's nobody like him, and I know why he serves you." This is what Satan said. He said, "You have hedged him in," and he says also that you have blessed him in every area of his life. Isn't that remarkable? The two things that I quoted to you from Numbers chapter 6, the Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. Satan looks upon Job and he knows that God has hedged him in. Why? Because Satan cannot touch him unless he goes directly to God and gets permission. And also, he cannot withhold the blessings that God has bestowed upon Job because God has commanded the blessing. And for that reason, he says, now, you take away that hedge and you take away those blessings. But I want you to understand that Satan knew very well about the significance of this blessing that Aaron pronounced upon the children of Israel. And there was one condition. One condition was obedience. And throughout the history of Israel, there was no time when Israel lived in perfect obedience to God. There were some times when there were good times. There were certain kings that were good. Some kings were partly good and partly bad. And some kings were all bad. But there was no time when, because of obedience from the heart to all the commands of God, all the blessings of God that I read to you from Deuteronomy 28 could be bestowed upon them. He said, "If you will obey, if you will keep my commandments, then I will bless every aspect of your life." And he enumerates them one by one. You'll be blessed in every area of your life. But I did not read you the next verses. God says this. He says, "But if you do not obey my commands, then I will curse every area of your life." Isn't that remarkable? I'm so glad that God enumerates all the areas in which he's going to bless me. But then if I fail, God says, then in all of these areas, I will send a curse in your life. And so if God curses you, you are cursed. And if God blesses you, you are blessed. And this is the blessing that Balak sought to get Balaam to pronounce concerning the children of Israel. Israel was coming forth and destroying all their enemies, and Balak heard that they were coming in his direction, and so he sent a message to Balaam, that prophet, in Numbers 22-25. And this is the message. He said, "You have to come and you have to help me, because I know that whom you bless is blessed, and whom you curse is cursed." Now, whatever power Balaam may have had, it would be only by the permission of God. But concerning us, the children of God, God can bless, and he commands the blessing, and he curses, and nobody can avert the curse that comes upon us. And so in the hand of God is blessing and cursing, and for the nation of Israel, it was dependent upon their obedience to the will of God. Now, I want you to think for a moment concerning Aaron the high priest and the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. Had I read to you about the ordination of Aaron, when he and Moses were in the tabernacle, it says that Aaron came out and he lifted his hands and he blessed the children of Israel. Now let me ask you this. In Luke chapter 24, before the Lord Jesus went back to heaven, what was the last act ever done on earth by the Lord Jesus Christ? It says, he lifted his hands and he blessed his disciples. You say, well, that's a remarkable thing. Aaron lifted his hands and blessed Israel, and the Lord Jesus Christ lifts his hands and blesses the church. But the difference is this. Aaron died and Eleazar took his place. And Eleazar died and Phinehas took his place. But it says concerning our Savior, he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And so I do not have to worry. I do not have to worry about who the high priest is, because some high priests would be good and some would be evil and some would be gentle and considerate and others would have no mercy. But concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, such an high priest became us, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And it says, we need not another high priest, because he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And so on certain occasions, Aaron would come out and lift his hands and bless the children of Israel. It says that our Savior in heaven ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. And so the Lord Jesus has gone back to heaven, and he never ceases to pray for us as he prayed for Simon. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you that your faith fail not. And so Christ prays for Peter in that area. And if another temptation arises in a different area, he prays for that. Whatever our weaknesses are, whatever our failures are, our great high priest also can command the blessing. Listen. When he said, Simon, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. How did he know that prayer was going to be answered? Because as God commands the blessing, the Lord Jesus can command the blessing as well. The Lord Jesus could say concerning Simon Peter, my Father, I do not want his faith to fail. It shall lessen. It shall be reduced to almost nothing. But I do not want his faith to fail. And I want his soul to be restored. And then I want him to feed the brethren. And so the prayer of Aaron was guaranteed because God commanded the blessing. And the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ also is guaranteed because the Lord Jesus said this when he prayed to the Father. He said, Father, I thank you that you heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But for their sake, I said it. And so here is our Savior, and he is a better mediator. He is the surety of the covenant, and the covenant that he's made with us is a better covenant. And we have Aaron, and thank God for Aaron and what he typically represented for Israel. But thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, not typically representing anything for Israel, but the reality, the substance, whereas Aaron and all of these other types were but shadows, were but hints of the great high priest that was going to come. So here are the things that God is telling us about the Old Testament. And when you consider Aaron and then you consider Christ, remember that God composed this prayer. There are some prayers that I pray to God, but as I am enabled, helped by the Spirit, I rise to my feet and I pray to God. But this prayer is one composed by God. Listen, God said to Moses, I want you to go and tell Aaron to speak these words to the children of Israel. I want him to put my name upon the children of Israel. And this is what Aaron is to say. It was not left to him at all. Not one word was to be improvised. And God said, and I will quote it a little more literally this time, God said to Aaron, he said, this is what you are to say. Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his face upon thee and give thee peace. So shalt thou put my name upon the children of Israel. God is the one who composed that benediction. Understand that. Nothing of Moses, nothing of Aaron, but it was the message and the benediction that God composed. Now let me ask you this. When the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And as he taught them in Matthew chapter 6, the Savior said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, who composed that prayer? You say, the Son of God. Yes, not one word man put into that prayer, but the Lord Jesus composed the prayer in Matthew 6 that we are to pray, basically, and God composed the prayer that Aaron was to pray over the nation of Israel. And you see so many similarities. Now listen, it says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And we read that the blessing of God is the bestowal upon every need that man has. And this is what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And God said in the blessing of Israel, He will bless your field, He will bless your cattle. And so when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, the Lord Jesus is saying something similar as to what His Father told Aaron to pray in Numbers chapter 6. And notice, it says, God be gracious unto thee. And we say, and forgive us our debts. God has to be gracious and merciful to us as He was in the prayer of Aaron. So the grace of God and the blessings of God, they are both brought out in God's prayer through Aaron and Christ's prayer as taught to His disciples. And this is what is so remarkable. I cannot tell you everything about it, but you can analyze that prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. How simple, how brief, and yet how full and how profound. And also, this simple benediction uttered by Aaron, and you think through it, and you see its symmetry, its arrangement, and yet you are not noticing the arrangement so much until you think a moment and listen. The word Lord is Yahweh, which means the eternal one, the absolute one. And so when it says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, here is what we may not know, but God has a personal name. There are certain terms that describe God. When you have Elohim, when you have El Shaddai, when you have His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. God has many descriptive titles, but God says, my personal name is Yahweh, the Absolute One. And when Moses said, if I go to the children of Israel, whom shall I say sent me? And God said, Eyeh, Asher Eyeh, tell them I am sent you. And so God says, I want you to put my personal name upon the children of Israel. And it says that the nations consider Israel and they realize that the name of God is upon them. And right now, three times in the Bible, it says that we who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, followers of the way, are called Christians. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And so here, Christ's name is placed upon us, just as the Lord's name, Yahweh, was placed upon the children of Israel. And God says, I want my name upon them. But this is what is so sad concerning Israel. It says in Isaiah, and then Paul quotes it. He says, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And I'm wondering, the life that you've lived, what if you, in the presence of sinful men, committing your sinful deeds, said, I am a Christian. Would Christ's name be blessed or cursed? I remember one brother back in North Carolina that had been a great sinner, and he had genuinely trusted Christ as Savior, but some of his old habits were still hanging on, and he was a plumber. And he was sitting in his truck next to another plumber, and they had both been in the beer store, and they'd gotten a couple of beers, and they were sitting there drinking those beers, and this newly converted Christian turned to his friend and said, now, you know what you need? You need to be saved. I'm saved. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And the man looked at him and said, as long as you're drinking that bottle of beer, I don't want to hear any more out of your mouth. Do you understand? The name of God is blasphemed. And so the Lord says, I want my name placed upon you. And I want my name revered, and I want my name honored. And as it says concerning Paul in Galatians, he says, he that once persecuted the church now preaches the faith. And it says, they glorify God in me. And this is what the Lord would have concerning us. He wants his son's name upon us as he wanted his own name upon Israel. And for people to look and see the name of God and see what kind of people were followers of God, what this one true God could do for them in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And so listen, the blessing that God bestowed upon Israel was to act upon the hearts of the Israelites and in turn cause them to pronounce a blessing upon God. Understand that. God says, this is the blessing, Aaron, that you are to place upon Israel from me. And in turn, listen to Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all such that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I see. God has blessed the psalmist, David. And now David is going to enumerate some of the blessings that have come from God. He says, bless the Lord, forget not all his benefits. What are those benefits? The blessings that Aaron pronounced upon David and the children of Israel. And he says, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. And so the psalmist, having been blessed of God, enumerates and quotes back to God good things that God has done for him. And this is what the Lord expects. When this blessing is pronounced upon them and good things come upon them, God wants them to remember those things. And God says, now I have blessed you. What are you going to do? And the psalmist says, I'm going to bless you in turn. You speak words and you command the blessing. Well, at least my God, I can speak the words and desire that these good things come to you. That the world will know who you are. That sinners will be converted. That Israel will keep your commandments. These are the things that I desire, the blessings for you, my God. And God said, when I command the blessing toward you, it is certain. Now, I'm thankful that you are desirous for good things to happen to me. And listen to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see how you're wanting good things for God? God wants good things for you. First God, and then he says, now, this is what I want for me, Lord. I want you to give me my daily bread. I want you to forgive. And so there are blessings within and without. And all of these things are contained in those few verses in Numbers 6, 23 through 5. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Notice, to be blessed is positive. Good things that God sends into your life. But the Lord bless thee and keep thee. These are the things that God causes you to refrain from doing. Just as Abimelech said when God spoke to him. God said, I have withheld you from sinning against me. And this is what it says. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And so he keeps us from danger. He keeps us from sin. He negatively works in our lives. And he positively works in our lives. And it says, cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And go through and analyze all that he said. And you'll see that every conceivable blessing, every conceivable withholding of evil that comes into your life is contained in these verses. And God wanted it for Israel. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants it for us. So let us rejoice that we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so our high priest is praying for our blessing in heaven, as Abram prayed for the blessing of Israel in the Old Testament. Now that's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, forgive us for ever thinking that you want evil and pain and sorrow to come into our lives. We have heard the benediction that you composed, our God, and we did not hear one bad thing that you wanted to come into the lives of the children of Israel. All of them were good things. Now, our God, I know that we are under a different covenant. And we understand, Lord, that things are not going to work out identically with those in the Old Testament. But we are so thankful, our God, that we can do good and keep your commandments. And Father, your blessing will be upon us. Let us know that that blessing at times is hard to understand, but you've never desired the death of the wicked. You've had no pleasure in it. And our God, you've had no pleasure in the sufferings of your servants. We remember that when Saul persecuted them, your Son from heaven said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And so we are thankful, our God, that you enter into all the areas of our life, and you bless them for good, and you withhold the evil. And so we are thankful for the God that you are. Your promises were true to Israel, and your promises through Jesus Christ shall be true to us. Let us remember that, our God, and let us bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, let us bless his holy name. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.